Chapter 1.
Don't call me that.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
She shifted in her seat, and I looked around the room again. I couldn't believe how depressing her office was. It was a small room on the second floor of a strip mall above a dry cleaner's, and one storefront over from a Popeye's. The whole place stank like week-old fried chicken, and I was supposed to take this skinny white woman seriously? Listen, lady, I'm sure you mean well, but let's you and me get one thing straight right now. I'm here because if I get expelled from school, I'll have to sit around my mom's apartment all day. And if I have to sit around my mom's apartment all day, I'll go even crazier than I am already. You know what I'm saying? So I'll sit here with you, but only if you ease off.
That's perfectly all right, Burr.
What are you, deaf or something? Didn't you hear me say don't call me that like 10 times already? I go by Butterball, all right?
Butterball.
I sounded it out. It's not that hard. The woman nodded, tugging at a few strands that had come loose from her bun. It was impossible to tell how old she was. She could be 35 or 55. I really had no clue.
All right, then. Do you mind if I ask you how you feel about being called Butterball?
How do I feel? I laughed. Come on, lady. This has to be a joke. How long am I supposed to sit here again? Is it 45 minutes or an hour?
She pursed her lips together tightly.
Our sessions run 45 minutes, or as long as I feel is appropriate. And for the record, I don't answer to lady. You call me Liz or Miss Jenner, whichever you like. But those are your only options.
I laughed again.
This woman was really cracking me up.
Liz? Yeah. No, thanks. But no thanks.
Butterball? However you want to play this is fine with me. I'm perfectly happy to go at your pace.
Great. All right, then.
She folded her arms in front of her and sat very still, staring right at me without speaking. I fixed my eyes on the ugly painting of three sailboats under a smeary blue sky that was hanging right above her head. What kind of fool would choose a picture like that? It had no detail, no point of view, no nothing. Like a piece of art chosen as a movie prop to show the character in question has zero taste. From downstairs, the fried chicken smell kept getting stronger and stronger. And don't think I didn't see the way that therapist was staring at me. Like she better lock up her valuables when I'm around. Not that this shitty office had anything worth half as much as my pair of sneakers. I'm not sure how many minutes passed, 3, 5, 10, but it looked like this white lady wasn't gonna budge. Seems like she might have even been as stubborn as my mom. And that was saying something. She just kept on sitting there staring at me until I finally had no choice but to say, "All right, fine. You can ask me questions, but I don't have to answer them." "How's that for a deal, you crazy bitch?" I was too polite to add.
"Well, I guess that's fine then. I appreciate that. Let's just start with the basics, Butterball, shall we?"
I snorted. "Sure, we shall." She ignored me.
"How about we start with you telling me when exactly you moved to Garden City?"
"That's as good as you got?" I sneered at her. But I was relieved as hell that she still hadn't mentioned the reason I'd been dragged into her office that day. Because if there was one thing I would never, ever discuss with this uptight white woman, it was Maurice. Not in a million years.
Chapter 2.
I know Liz had already conferred with the school principal and my mom and all that shit, and I'm sure she read the report about why I had been sent to her, and she probably gasped out loud when she got to the part about how I popped Maurice on the playground last Friday. Tight-ass lady like Liz. I wonder what she would have said if I'd have told her all the parts the report left out, like how I woken up that morning and pulled that special sock out of my underwear drawer and filled it, one after the other with D batteries I bought at Duane Reade the last time I visited my dad in the city. There was no way, there was just no way I'd ever tell Liz or anyone else what really went down that day or what my reasons for it were. When I got to school that morning, I felt ready for anything, like Bruce Lee, James Coburn, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar all rolled up into one large-ass pair of pants.